Today, Pope Benedict XVI celebrated Mass in the Sistine Chapel.
Orate, fratres ut meum, ac vestum sacrificium acceptabili fiat.
Until yesterday, he was Cardinal Joseph Ratzinger. Today, he is the 265th leader of the Roman Catholic Church. John Allen of the National Catholic Reporter joins us from Rome. And John, what was notable about today's service?
Well, I think, first of all, the fact that it was televised, and this, of course, is of a piece with the Vatican's transparency, really, since the final days of John Paul II. But I think more instructive in terms of where the pontificate of Benedict XVI may go, I think, was that address that he gave at the end of the Mass, talking about dialogue, talking about outreach, both to other Christian churches and to other faiths, and talking about his sincere desire to work in collaboration with bishops and others in the Catholic Church.
As he spoke of reunifying Christians, reaching out to other religions, how has the Pope, in his prior Vatican career, reconciled respect for religious difference with waging theological war against relativism?
Well, it's a difficult balancing act, and obviously not everyone feels he's always gotten it right. Ratzinger is, on a personal level, an extremely gracious and kind man, and I think has always made a point of trying to reach out both to other Christians and also to construct relationships with members of other faiths. At the same time, it obviously has to be said that over his 24 years as the Pope's top doctrinal official, he also felt it necessary on a number of occasions to reassert what he would consider to be the superiority of Christianity to other world religions and the superiority of Roman Catholicism to other options within the Christian family.
Pope John Paul II was the first pope to enter a synagogue and enter a mosque. What comparable steps might Pope Benedict XVI take that would ratify his predecessor's attitude toward other faiths?
Well, I think the sort of consensus expectation is that Benedict XVI is likely to travel somewhat less than his predecessor. But I would expect that when he does travel, he will make a point of including on his itinerary, as John Paul II did, meetings with religious leaders and perhaps visits to sites of religious significance, including significance for non-Christians. I would also expect that the role of non-Christian religions within the Church's own understanding of salvation history will be one of the most important aspects of the teaching dimension of his pontificate. That is, it would not surprise me if he were to write an encyclical on the subject. I suspect that encyclical will be reassuring to some and disappointing to others, because, among other things, he is certainly likely to insist again that salvation in the end comes uniquely and solely through Jesus Christ, and that therefore Christianity, from an objective point of view, is a superior system of revelation.
That would echo the 2000 declaration that his office was responsible for, that called other faiths, in some critical respect, gravely deficient because they are not Christian or Catholic.
Yes, that's right. And of course, much of the criticism of that document, Dominus Iesus, was not so much that its content was wrong. I mean, that this is an Orthodox Christian belief, obviously, but that the tone was wrong. It will be interesting to see now, as Pope Benedict XVI, whether Ratzinger revisits not so much the content of his views, but their mode of expression, and if he can find a new language to make this more attractive and less provocative, not only for other religions of the world, but obviously to men and women who have no particular religious faith, but nevertheless are interested in what the Catholic Church has to say.
John Allen, thank you very much for talking with us.
You're welcome, Robert.
John Allen, Vatican correspondent for the National Catholic Reporter.